Good morning, Wisconsin. Morning, world. It's a new day, and thank you for kicking it off with us right here at WFHR. 8:04 on the clock. Got your host, James. I'm joined by Melissa Kay.
Good morning, good morning.
And joining us right now are good friends from the Weather Eye Weather Center. Good morning over there.
Good morning. Michael Kerr here once again.
Good to have you joining us, Michael. How are you doing?
I'm doing just great, and thankfully the weather looking nicer out there after our icy day out there yesterday. Your final day of February looking fairly quiet, and we're headed up to some upper 30s for high temperatures by this afternoon. A good deal of sunshine to start the day before those clouds start to increase again by later on this afternoon. We do stand a shot at some light snow activity then for tonight as our next area of low pressure looks to work in from the west. Up to around an inch of snow accumulation expected for tonight, with lows dropping back to 27. A chance for a light wintry mix then through the course of your Wednesday. Thankfully, not expecting the degree of icing that we saw yesterday, but we still could have a little bit of some light freezing drizzle mixing in at times there on your Wednesday. Little in the way of any snow, additional snow accumulation there for your first day of March tomorrow, with highs headed up to 36. Thursday, looking to stay dry with some partial sunshine making a return, a high of 31 degrees, and another opportunity for some light snow then back in the forecast later into the day on Friday with a high of 34. Your weekend, though, looking to stay dry both Saturday and into your Sunday, with temperatures improving once again. Saturday up closer to a high of 37, upper 30s for high temperatures on your Sunday, and even taking a swing at some lower 40s by the time we get to your Monday. From the Weatherology Weather Center, I'm meteorologist Michael Carroll.
Appreciate the updates, Michael. You have a good one. We'll talk soon.
Have a good day.
Best in the business, our friends at the Weather Eye Weather Center.
Mm-hmm.
Appreciate them joining us for the updates. Nice to have a nice calm day, at least.
Yeah,
sort of calm.
It doesn't sound too bad coming up. I mean, we could handle a little bit more snow.
Temperatures aren't so bad either.
No.
I'm minding that. A little bit ago, Pam sent us over an article, and I'm going to read from this, and we're going to have some fun with this one. It actually is something, interestingly, we used to get into a little bit back in the day.
Okay.
Every state has one, a law that defies law. Logic, explanation, or even practicality.
Mm.
We had Americans across the nation rank the weirdest law from each state to see which law could claim the title of oddest nationwide.
Okay.
Wisconsin ranked 9th in the country with this legal marvel. We will get to that one. I'm saving that one for the end. But there
ranked 9th.
There are some interesting ones here. We're going to go right to the entire article, and you can go to insureranks.com, insureranks.com. That's all one word, insureranks.com, if you'd like to find this article. Number one on the list was New York.
Okay.
Where slippers are banned after 10 p.m. Thank goodness. People walking around barefoot after 10. That's the way it should be. That's, I don't know
what. Slippers are banned after, like, outside?
Yeah, I don't know.
If you're inside, 10 p.m. hit, you know, yep. You get the town crier walking through. It's 10 p.m. Slippers what? Off.
Like the idea of wives turning in their husbands or vice versa.
It was 10:05. Judge, and he wouldn't take his slippers off. I don't know what to do.
Judge, I don't know what's going on. I don't know. I just got these. She got me the slippers. The other part of this, and I hope others do this too, it's not just hearing the law. It's, well, what caused that law?
Right. Why in the world would you need a law about slippers?
What happened after 10 p.m. involving a pair of slippers?
And what lawmaker got up in arms about it?
Yes, yes. Number two, Vermont.
Mm.
It's illegal for women to wear fake teeth without their husband's approval. Well, thank God. We wouldn't want a world like that.
And that's still on the books?
When
women go to get dentures in Vermont, they have to get their husband's approval?
That's embarrassing.
Hold on a second.
If I'm Vermont, I'm very embarrassed about that one. Like, there's silly laws, and then there's ones that, like, haven't aged well.
I know.
They've not aged well. Like, an 80s movie has not aged very well. It's not, no, that is not good, Vermont.
Mm-mm.
Not good.
Mm-mm.
Might want to get that one off the books.
Perhaps.
Might want to get that one out of there. I do like the idea of a woman who, like, who is just has had enough, and she's just annoyed, so she's just fighting everything with sarcasm and you know, just a little bit of dark humor or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And like, well, honey, you got to sign off on this. Like, babe, look, just get the teeth. No, you got to. It's illegal. You have to sign. All right, fine, just whatever. You have to make a note for your wife or whatever, so she can get dentures.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that is just ridiculous. It's becoming less funny the more I'm talking about it to me. It's like, yeah,
it kind of is. And how many dentists in the area are holding anybody to that?
Oh, that.
They're probably not, because why would they?
Well, I would hope not.
But it's still on the books. That's the thing.
It's a rich state, too, so I don't know. Number three, we go to Alabama, where it's illegal to wear a fake mustache that causes laughter in church. It's so specific. It's so specific.
That's the best.
It's going to be hard to top that one. That's pretty good. That is pretty good.
Oh, my goodness. I want to be a fly on the wall when that... Was there like a pandemic of that?
Yes,
like people kept coming in every
week. This is too much. We got to put a state law.
It started with the kids.
Yes. I don't know. To me, that just seems fun. I don't know. I don't see why you...
Obviously, some minister got annoyed by it and wanted it to stop. So they made it a law.
Number four on the list, Arizona. I remember this one. It's one of my all-time favorites. And this is needed too, everybody. Not for us so much as for animals. It's illegal for a donkey to sleep in a bathtub. You laugh, Melissa, but many a donkey has woken up with a bad neck, with a very sore neck from sleeping in a bathtub. And this is the only way we can stop this.
How did the donkey get in the bathtub?
Yes. I have many follow-up questions.
I mean, do they have a lot of outdoor bathing in Arizona? I understand it's the desert, but still.
We do this bit, this term every once in a while, but I would completely waste a time machine. Like, this time machine only has five jumps in it. You can only make five jumps in, like, two of them. I'm going back to see what this is. Like, Arizona and the Alabama one. We're only four states in, and I'm already wasting the time machine to go back to see. I got the fly on the wall. I got to see what happened here.
Investigative journalism in its finest.
Yes. What donkey was there? Maybe it was the person that just didn't, you know, they didn't have a barn. And like, I got to put the donkey somewhere.
Yeah, but that's not a roof over its head.
No, it's not.
It's porcelain under its butt.
And number five, Connecticut. A pickle must be able to bounce. Otherwise, it's not a pickle.
I like that law. I actually like that law because there is nothing worse than a mushy pickle.
I agree. I do agree with that.
And I'm sorry, Mom. Rest in peace, but she made the worst pickles.
Oh, that's
rough. They would never bounce.
Yeah, that's rough. Yeah. I gotta say, I could see leaving radio to do that job. Like the pickle tester, you're just bouncing pickles all day.
Pickles.
It doesn't seem like such a bad gig. It doesn't seem like bad. It's all you do all day.
It's going to state fairs.
Coming home from a long day at work. I smell like grind. My wrist is tired from slapping all that. God, it's good work, I tell you. I'm doing important work here.
Important work.
Not one pickle in the whole state of Connecticut does not bounce. There's one guy in charge of all this. I like that, too. I like the idea of just one guy, 24, like all day, 8 hours for a day, gets a lunch break, and that person hates pickles.
Well, they'd
just
have to.
Everything they order, no pickles.
If they didn't when they started the job, yeah, they did 2 months in.
Yes. In Maryland, it is a violation to be in a public park with a sleeveless shirt. In Maryland. I would not do well in Maryland. I would not.
No. And again, you know, while these laws are on the law books, they're not enforcing them. I wonder what would happen if somebody tried to.
Yeah, that's where things get a little more interesting and possibly a little more tense. Yeah, that's for sure. Let's see here. Number seven is, California. A frog that dies during a frog jumping contest cannot legally be eaten. And that's respect. That's all about respect for athletes.
Oh, man.
We wouldn't do that to a retired football player. We shouldn't do it to a retired frog jumper.
Well, sorry. I'm going into the health reasons. Why did this frog die? You probably don't want to eat it.
Yeah. I just.
But again, yes, respect to athletes.
I can't wrap my brain around the idea of your frog died. Well, might as well
eat them.
what? What's going on there? I don't know why your brain goes right to that. I think like, actually that law may be good just to stop people from doing that.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if that's necessarily great that your brain goes there right away. My frog died in the frog jumping contest. Well, frog legs.
I mean, I guess if you're hoping to make money and you can't and don't know where your next meal's coming from, might as well eat the frog.
Salvage it, I suppose.
In
Louisiana, it's illegal to send a surprise pizza.
Oh, I remember we talked about this one before.
Yeah, I forgot about it. Yeah, yeah.
Because that's, you know, that's a great plot in a book or a movie. You're trying to do reconnaissance at a place,
yes,
and you know, show up as a pizza delivery person.
Pizza delivery guy. Yes.
Yep. I'm here to deliver your pizza. We didn't order pizza. Well, you know, somebody ordered it for you.
I don't know why, but that just reminded me of one of my favorite sketches of all time. In any, like, Second City, Saturday Night Live, any Monty Python, any bit show. And it's also one of the dumbest ones I've ever seen. One of the silliest ones. Landshark. Landshark. I don't know. I didn't order anything. Mail. Postgram, and of course the shark comes in and bites Gilderad. Gets me,
yes,
every time. I don't know why, but my mind immediately went there. That you can't, like that, like something like that happened, and that's why you can't order, it's,
yes,
illegal to order
a land shark showed
a surprise
up with a pizza.
Yes, yes. Nice. I was saving. I think I mentioned this, but just in case it wasn't clear, these are all ranked. They rank these,
and we're going in order, right?
Yes,
okay.
We are going in order as they get sillier and stuff. And that's why I was waiting for Wisconsin, who shows up at number 9. Butter substitutes are banned without permission in public places.
Really?
Yeah. I think that, you know,
banned in public places without permission.
You have to have a permit.
Oh, a permit.
Yeah. Now, I don't know if, again, this is still being enforced, but at the time it was being enforced, needing a permit if you wanted to have a butter substitute. So, no, I'm not really into the margarine around here. Not really into the,
we are the dairy state.
Really take that seriously, really.
And for from a consumer point of view, if you're served a pat of butter on a plate with no packaging on your table, you don't know if it's butter or mm-hmm. a fake butter or so. I don't know, that one doesn't seem all that silly to me.
Yeah that one has its place, I suppose. I'd love the idea, not that we can afford this for our taxpayers, let alone for our officers or anything like that, but the butter division of every you're an officer,
every town,
if you wanted to be a police officer your whole life and chase bad guys and all this stuff, and you get put in butter division. There's like nothing going on.
It doesn't say on there what year these were enacted, does it?
No, it doesn't on this.
Because that would be interesting to also know when these were made laws.
I think that's the next stage.
Yeah, because something like that was probably enacted before we had packaging the way that we do now.
Hmm.
Whereas you'll have, at a restaurant, you'll have butter, and then you'll have, like, what is it called? Smart butter or something like that. The other individual little pats of butter that you can open up and see, but it says right on the packaging what it is.
Yeah.
So
nowadays, I don't know many people that don't look at the packaging either.
Mm-hmm.
So that's, you know, kind of too. Yeah, here it is, Wisconsin legislature. This is Wisconsin legislature 9718.
Okay.
And it states the serving of colored oleomargarine, thank you, Mo, or margarine at a public eating place as a substitute for table butter is prohibited unless it is ordered by the customer.
Ah.
And it just gives, it's in depth about this. Any person who violates any provision of this section may be fined not less than $100, nor more than $500, or imprisoned not more than 3 months, or both.
Whoa.
And for each subsequent offense, may be fined not less than $500, nor more than $1,000, or imprisoned in county jail not less than 6 months or year. Imagine doing 6 months because you mixed up the butter and the margarine, or you grabbed the I can't believe it's not butter container or something like that. That's interesting. This goes really in depth on this too. That is
well. Okay. So obviously there was an issue with that at restaurants in Wisconsin at some point in time, and yeah.
In fascinating. South, that is an interesting one, though. That is interesting. I like the idea also of thinking of laws that aren't really laws, but they are in this state. Like, there's certain things. Like, you have to have had at least one fish fry in your life if you're going to live in Wisconsin for more than a couple of years.
Yeah.
There's things like that. You have to have at least one person in your community be the, like, this time of year, they're going to wear shorts. Like, it's got to be. God, you have to have that. You have to have at least one person. Somebody's got to be that. Like, they used to have the town crier and things like that. Town short wearer.
You are the designated shorts wearer. But I hate winter. Tough.
I'm sorry.
You drew the short straw.
Yeah, it's your turn. It's the literal short straw. I like that. That's good. Number 10, South Carolina. You can't play pinball if you're a minor.
Oh,
I remember that
one. Yeah, because those used to be more of a gambling device.
I think that was also, if I remember right, they were trying to, there was a huge influx, especially in that area of arcade game, pinballing. And they were trying to outlaw, pinball was outlawed for a while in some states.
Right, because it was more of a game of chance. You didn't have flippers when pinball machines first started.
And the gambling thing you were mentioning there. About, I just hadn't thought about that. I was putting it all together in my head, I guess. Number 11, Michigan. You can't sell your vehicle on a Sunday.
That's still kind of the law everywhere. Dealerships can't be open on Sundays.
Yeah. So that's actually kind of an interesting one.
And it's probably more than just Michigan.
Yes. And last one we're going to have for now, Maine. It's illegal to park in front of Dunkin' Donuts.
Seriously?
Yeah, that's not good. That's it. That's the law. That is...
That's a newer one then. How long has Dunkin' Donuts been around?
Right. Like that's got to be.
Why? And why did that come about?
I have a lot of follow-up questions on this one. Yeah. I didn't see that one coming. I didn't expect something to be so basic and I'm glad that's a really good point on your part. I'm not sure what could have happened. Why you would
I'm looking up to see how old. 73 years old. It was started in 1950.
Huh.
Dunkin' Donuts.
Huh.
So, yeah.
I'm not sure why.
It's illegal to park in front of it. I guess, I mean, maybe they wanted business to be, you know, to people to be able to access them. And maybe they didn't have parking lots right away. I don't know.
Something happened. Something went wrong. Something happened. Something went wrong that led to that one. I guarantee it. I just don't know what. I would love to know what exactly happened.
And though. That was which state?
Maine. Interesting.
Yes.
Very interesting. I'm not sure about that one, but you know, I do know that we got more states to come, and we're going to get into more of these. Let's see here. We got Seth and you together. Is it tomorrow or is it Thursday?
I think it's tomorrow.
Yeah, we'll get into the rest of these tomorrow.
Good.
And we'll cover the rest of these states and everything and have some fun with this. For now, we're going to take a quick commercial break, unless you have something there, Mel.
I'm just looking up to see why you can't park in front of the South Berwick Dunkin' Donuts.
Oh, it's
that's it's a specific. Well, this is on a like a radio website.
Yeah, but still.
I wanted to see. Oh, the South Berwick Dunkin' Donuts is right near the intersections of Main and Academy Street. It can get busy at peak coffee grabbing time, and the store is small. So they have traffic jams. Yeah. People park in front of it to grab them. It's a mess of traffic, and that's why the law was passed, because people would park there anyway, even though it says no parking.
I guess that one makes sense. That one, they kind of had to do that.
Safety.
Didn't really give them a lot of options there. The law kind of had to. Well, we'll get into the rest of these tomorrow on the morning show, probably an 8 o'clock block. So we'll finish these up then. For now, we'll take a break and come back with Misty's Menu Birthday and Anniversary Club on the morning show at WFHR. Mm-hmm. It's time for Misty's Menu Birthday and Anniversary Club. We are going to talk about a bunch of birthdays today. We got, no anniversaries, but a bunch of birthdays. But first up, I do want to remind you that Misty's is closed right now. Misty's will be closed February 25th till March 5th. They will resume normal hours beginning the week of March 20th. When they do open the doors, let's greet them. Let's be ready there right away and meet them over there at 9041 State Highway 13 South in Wisconsin Rapids. When Misty's is open, they're open 6 to 2, 7 days a week. We wish a good morning and a great break to all of them out there.
Yes. Melissa, they've earned it.
They have earned it so tenfold. You're so right about that. We have four names, but only two that can qualify, Melissa, so I all need right. a one or a two from you.
I'll choose one.
All right. That gives us our qualifier. We can get right into the celebrating. And first up, I want to wish a very happy birthday to my cousin, Alec, Alex Valentine.
Happy birthday, Alex.
Alex, awesome. He's a great kid. Great kid. Very, very happy birthday to you, Alec. And a good friend of mine down in the Chicago area, Demetrius Cornell.
Happy birthday, Demetrius.
He's a good guy. Very good guy. Met him through my buddy Vince. Good guy. Very funny. Very creative.
Does he have a nickname?
D. I think people call him D.
Okay.
I know that's what I was calling him, but I have a tendency, that's all my dad's fault. Like, if your name was Bo, my dad might call you B. Like, he has to shorten everything.
I guess B is better than O.
And our qualifier today, Mr. Robert Ashbeck.
Happy birthday, Robert.
Enjoy your day, sir.
Congratulations.
Hope it's a good one for you. Enjoy it. And you're our qualifier today.
Woohoo!
We can now take a look at some celebrity birthdays. Going ahead and taking a look at this list. Sarah Bolger is 32. She's Emily on Mayans MC, Jade on Into the Badlands. She was on Once Upon a Time and Tudors. Good actor. I believe a good martial arts actor, too, if I have her right. I'm not sure. Let me see here. Jason Aldean is 46.
Really?
Not sneaky young or sneaky old. I didn't know his. Wouldn't have guessed his age range, and probably wouldn't have guessed there. But
I haven't heard a lot of his music either. I mean, or I haven't. I just didn't know it.
Allie Larder is 47. She was in the first two Final Destination movies and the last three Resident Evil flicks. She was the whipped cream girl in Varsity Blues. That's what they're saying here. I have an idea of what that is, but I never saw the movie, so I'm not 100%. Amanda Abington is 49, fantastic British actress. She is the spy who married Dr. Watson on Sherlock. She's very talented, very, very good.
Yes, I like her.
She did such a good job in that role.
And she's been in so many other, let's see, I want to see what else she's been in. I recognize her from something else.
There's certain shows that I almost envy people that haven't seen them and they're going to get to watch it for the first time, and that's one of them.
Yeah.
Like that series Sherlock on BBC is just so dang good. I never saw one bad scene that they did. Mm-hmm. That whole series was fantastic. And she was a really good part of it. Robert Sean Leonard is 54. House's only real friend, Dr. James Wilson on House. He was also played a famous role in Dead Poets Society, of course, when he was a young man. Robert did a great job with that.
Yeah, he plays a really good character on House. I liked his character.
Yeah, it's kind of that. I didn't watch a ton of episodes of that, but kind of the glue of that for that crew.
Well, and also then just to play off of the absolute wackiness.
Yes.
That House was.
Hugh Laurie.
Oh, he's amazing.
He's great. I like Hugh Laurie.
And a sneaky good musician.
That's what I've heard. Yeah. I've heard that about him. And I didn't know that until like
piano
a couple
player,
of years ago.
Piano player, singer.
Yeah.
Oh, he's great.
Yeah. Pat Monahan is 54, lead singer of Train, Drops of Jupiter, Hey Soul Sister, at least two
good
hits.
Singer.
At least two hits I can think of. They probably have more. Ray Dawn Chung is 62. Tommy Chong's daughter. She starred opposite Arnold Schwarzenegger in Commando. She was also in The Color Purple. I was a huge fan of hers back in the day. Like, one of my early favorite actors was Ray Dawn Chung. I thought she was going to go on to have even bigger career than she was having in the 80s. Mm-hmm. Don't know necessarily why or what happened, but yeah, I didn't see much of her after that.
No.
The great Cindy Wilson from the B-52s is 66. Love Shack, Rome, Rock Lobster. Top five favorite character actors of all time, Mr. John Turturro.
Ooh.
66 for the great John Turturro today. He's Pete in Oh Brother, Where Art Thou? Maybe his best work, Pino in Do the Right Thing, Seymour in Transformers. You may have seen him most recently as Carmine Falcone in the recent Batman movie.
Okay.
Just so darn good. Love John Turturro. Absolutely love everything that man has ever done with his career. Mm-hmm. So good. So fearless.
And it looks like he's been in like every genre,
yes,
too. Comedies.
He's done it all.
Tragedies, adventures.
he's done it all and can do it all. Mm-hmm. It's what makes him one of the more complete actors I've ever seen.
Yeah.
Big, big fan of Mr. Turturro. I feel a little like I'm being really bad here because I'm also a really big fan of Bernadette Peters, who is 75 today.
Yes.
My mom, Leonor, on The Good Fight. She was also starred with the two Martins in The Jerk. with Steve Martin in two Steve Martin movies, in The Jerk and Pennies from Heaven.
Mm-hmm.
The Jerk is where I fell in love with her. Like, I love Bernadette Peters. Mm-hmm. I just adore her so darn much. And that's the movie that really laid, because I that movie used to play all the time on WGN when I was a kid.
Okay.
And it was one of my, like, one of the few comedies where even though I saw it before, I still laughed at it. And I didn't realize this about myself, but at a young age, that's just how I was. Not a lot of repeat humor for me. Okay. The Jerk always did it for me, and a big part of it was the acting. You had Jackie Mason, you had, of course, the great Steve Martin, and the wonderful Bernadette Peters.
And I just loved her in movies from my childhood, like Beauty and the Beast. She did a voice in that.
Mm-hmm. great
Anastasia,
voice.
And then also, of course, Cinderella and Annie.
Oh, that's right. I forgot about Annie.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's another good one.
Mm-hmm.
Just so many great roles throughout her career. Cannot say enough about her. Happy 75th to Bernadette Peters.
Wow.
One of the greater racers of all time, Mario Andretti, is 83 today.
83?
That's surprising to me.
Wow.
I didn't realize that. It snuck up. And then some people no longer with us, like the great Gilbert Gottfried, born in this day. He would have been 68, born in 1955, mm-hmm. passed away in 2022. Old school comedian, as well as great voice actor, was Jafar in Aladdin, Jafar's parrot in Aladdin, and played a lot of other stuff, too.
Yeah.
Also, really, really, really talented stand-up comedian. Like, I watched a couple of his specials growing up in there on HBO and everything, and man, I had no idea Gilbert Gottfried was that talented. Very funny, very fun. Not
gone
just a,
too soon.
Yeah, not just a fun, funny voice, but just a really talented human being.
Yeah.
Frank Bonner, born in this day in 1942, passed away in 2021. Herb Tarlick on WKRP in Cincinnati. Frank, another great character actor. Saw him in a lot of stuff growing up. Very good at what he did.
Hmm.
Gavin McLeod, born in the state in 1931, passed away in 2021. All these are recent, too. It's harsh. Captain Stubbling on Love Boat. Before that, he also worked the newsroom on the Mary Tyler Moore Show.
Ah, yes.
Bubba Smith, born in this day in 1945, passed away in 2011. NFL legend and Moses Hightower in the Police Academy movies. And Charles Durning, born in state in 1923, passed away in 2012. One of the all-time great character actors, the singing governor and the best little he was Pappy and Oh Brother Where Art Thou, another actor in that movie. Doc Hopper in the Muppet movie. I mean, Charles Durning made a great career of playing all these, like a lot of similar parts.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, man, just he was so good at those.
Yeah, and in so many movies. He was in Tootsie, a lot of these that I have seen. Some I haven't.
When it was all said and done, if I had an IMDb page that was similar to Charles Durning's, I'd have had a great career. I'd been very proud of my career. Great actor.
And to say you were in the Muppet movie.
Yeah.
I mean,
that alone. It's a dream, right there.
And Spy Hard.
Yes, Spy Hard. I forgot about that.
Leslie Nielsen.
It's a good one. Brian Jones, born in this day in 1942, passed away in 1969. Rolling Stones, former Rolling Stones guitarist. And one more time, we want to wish everybody celebrating a birthday out there a great one. Enjoy your day. Have a great one. And get us more of these birthdays and anniversaries. We want to celebrate with you. Send it to info@wfhr.com. You can go ahead and direct message us on Facebook as well. And you can email me, james.maloff@civicmedia.us.
Yes.
Take a quick commercial break. We'll come back and have some more fun after Melissa's news here on The Morning Show at WFHR. Welcome back, everyone. Morning show here on WFHR, locally grown radio. We hope you're having a good one out there, everybody. Thanks for joining us on this Tuesday. Good, I was telling Melissa during our break here, you know, the lack of coffee is affecting me a little bit more than I like. Like, I knew I missed it. I didn't know that I'd miss it this much. In the years I've been doing this job, I've always done Misty's Menu. And I don't believe I've ever forgotten a birthday before, especially when it's on the list literally right under my nose. But we did miss one, and thankfully it is a former coworker and one of my favorite people I've ever worked with, Mr. Jeff Siegler.
Hey, happy birthday, Jeff.
Jeff, enjoy your day. Hope it's a good one for you, sir. Please feel free to message me later and razz me.
He didn't actually miss you. He just wanted to highlight you.
Yeah, yeah.
That's why.
Well played, Melissa. Nice.
I was trying, James. trying to save you there.
He'll never see it. Jeff, enjoy your day. I really did enjoy working with Jeff. I've worked with Jeff in two different incarnations here at WFHR. When I first started, and I was a copywriter, and Jeff was one of the first people to kind of sit back and explain copy and copywriting to me, and from the sales perspective, from what it's like for him to go into the client, bring the ad, then got to come back and change the ad, and all these different kind of things.
Well, it's important to understand that part of it.
Agreed. And it was insightful for me. And then when I came back here to town and I started working at WFHR again, Jeff was still here. He was kind of like had a year or two left before his retirement. Mm-hmm. And I gave sales a try. And Jeff was the guy that trained me on it.
Okay.
And I was not good at sales, but only because of my own badness at it. It had nothing to do with
his training.
No, because Jeff, anything I'm good at about it, what came from Jeff. Mm-hmm. And I still use some of the things that I learned from him when it comes to working with clients and everything.
Well, that's good. And know your strengths. You got to do what you're good at.
Very good at what he did, too. Like, Jeff Siegel, that name is well known in this town because there's almost every business Jeff went to, and everybody had a good impression with Jeff.
Awesome.
Good guy. I hope you're enjoying retirement, Jeff. Let us take a look at this one. And this, we were just getting into, birthday and anniversary club with Misty's Menu and all that. This is kind of fitting. Unless you're in the 0.07% of people that this applies to, you've maybe never thought about it. Next year is a leap year, but 2023 isn't. So when do people born on February 29th celebrate?
Yeah.
Today, tomorrow, or maybe both? Someone on Reddit asked Leap Day Babies, or Leapings, to weigh in.
Leapings.
And the general consensus seems to be that there isn't one. Some like to celebrate today to keep it in February. Some people prefer tomorrow because a day early just feels wrong. And a few diehard Leapings only celebrate once every 4 years.
Wow.
That is a dream to me. Mm-hmm. I wish I was. If only I'd been born 9 days later. on a leap year. I don't think 77 was a leap year. I'm not sure. But either way, like, that would have worked out perfect for me. Like, oh, I can't celebrate this year, guys. Sorry, not a leap year. Can't celebrate.
Aww.
Some also said that they wish that there was a consensus, like a societal opinion on this. Like, oh, we always celebrate it on this day. So there was also that part of it, too.
I would think that if it was me, I would probably want to be able to celebrate it on whichever day worked out better that year.
Mm.
So say the first landed on a Saturday versus, or you know, the 28th landed on a Saturday and the first on a Sunday. So then you'd obviously want to celebrate it on the Saturday.
Yeah. I don't know. I like the idea of that. I think that might actually, you know, work in your favor. Not only work in your favor, but the older you get, the better that becomes. Like, a few people also said their parents celebrated their birthday on the 28th and March 1st, which is nice.
To get two celebrations. Yeah.
If you don't get a real birthday, two fake ones seems to be a good trade-off.
Yeah, not bad.
Even Facebook has had trouble with this, by the way. On the 28th, they used to tell friends your birthday was tomorrow, but then didn't send out any alert on March 1st. In the last few years, it sounds like they've switched and now just pretend the 28th is the 29th, but we've also seen people claim it defaults to March 1st for them.
Hmm.
From a legal standpoint, though, tomorrow is the day that matters. When a leap day baby turns 21, they can't technically get into a bar until midnight on March 1st.
Yep.
So that part, you definitely want to know that part.
Mm-hmm.
Hmm. It's pretty interesting, though. You know, I hadn't really thought much about that part of things. And I've never met somebody that had a leap year birthday.
I was talking with this with my former tiny human roomies. And we were discussing, like, because one of them has a friend who has a birthday on a leap year. We're born on the 29th. And so we were just having a conversation about how they would want to celebrate if it was their birthday. And it's very similar to the conversations on Reddit. It's kind of interesting.
That is. It is funny when that happens. Mm-hmm. There are a handful of celebrities that have a birthday on leap day. Pope Paul III from 1468.
Wow.
That is an interesting one. Wendy Louise Peters, English television and theater character actress. Diane Shore in 1916, great American singer. In 1924, Al Rosen, American ball player. Tony Robbins was born on leap day in 1960.
Really?
Motivational speaker. Lloyd Byers, a great Canadian hockey player, born in 1964 on leap year. In 1972, Antonio Sabato Jr. Was born on that day. In 76, Ja Rule was born on leap year day. And 1980, Chris Conley, American musician, songwriter, composer. That is the last one I have on this list. I don't know if that is the most recent one that we have. So that's kind of interesting, too.
Yeah. It is.
Now, what about birthdays? Because, like, Ja Rule is technically 11. he's 47, actually. But in leap years...
But he's only had 11 birthdays.
Yeah. I kind of... That part of things, it feels like the opposite of dog years. Mm-hmm. Like you're going the wrong way. You're going a different way. If you're an actor, that's great, though. You get to say you're young the rest of your career. You can always say you're young. And every actor lies about their age. So, I mean... You know,
that's a pretty big lie, though.
Seems like it. Yeah.
I don't think they're going to pull that one off.
They're probably going to call you on that one. They're probably
for sure. Especially when you hit 80.
Yes. We will take a quick commercial break, come back and wrap up the hour and have some fun on the morning show here at WFHR. Welcome back to the morning show here at WFHR. Melissa and James with you. 8:49 on the clock. Take you right to the top of the hour where CBS News will come in and do their thing.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of factors that can increase stress at work, demanding bosses, being understaffed, tight timelines, and being in the state of Texas, apparently. There's a new study out on the most and least stressful cities to work in, and Texas dominates the most stressful list.
Ooh.
The analysts considered 8 main factors, including hours per worked per week, commute time, single-income families, income growth rate, lack of health insurance, and crime rates. All very interesting factors.
Yes.
In the end, Houston was the most stressful, followed by Arlington, Texas, Dallas, then Memphis, Las Vegas, Corpus Christi, Texas, Fayetteville, North Carolina, Fort Worth, Texas, Moreno Valley, California, and Modesto, California. That's 5 Texas cities in the top 10.
Yeah, that's a lot.
And there are 10 in the top 30. The least stressful city to work in is Madison, Wisconsin.
Hey, ding, ding, ding.
How about that?
We'll
That's
take
interesting.
It.
That's an interesting one. Followed by Fort Collins, Colorado, Fremont, California, Minneapolis, Providence, Rhode Island, Lincoln, Nebraska, Portland, Oregon, Seattle, St. Paul, Minnesota, and Boise, Idaho. So the Twin Cities with 2 in there.
Yeah.
And we see, of course, Madison at number 1 there. So you see a couple of Midwest places in.
Mm-hmm.
If you're curious, New York City had the longest average commute at nearly 80 minutes.
Ugh.
And Clarkville, Tennessee had the longest work week at an average of 41 hours a week.
Longest average work week is only 41 hours a week? That kind of surprises me.
Yeah, that is interesting. I wonder how, saying that they were lying, but how honest people are about that with themselves. Like how much they're really working.
Well, or if they're just trying to actually guess at what their average is.
Yeah, that's kind of how I mean it.
Yeah.
So looking at this complete list, Chicago came up at number 20. So not too good, not too bad.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see here. I'm trying to see if there was any other Wisconsin cities in there as well. That doesn't look like it. So, Yeah, as far as the top 10, again, Madison, now the most relaxing. Average work week, 36 hours. Average commute time, 37 minutes. Commute before 7 a.m., 21% do that. Employed without insurance, only 5.4% are.
Wow, that's impressive to me.
Very, especially I'm looking at the rest of this list of the least stressful cities, and only Fremont, California, with 1.6, has the least.
And now that's obviously of the population that they questioned.
Yes. Single income families for Wisconsin, 35%. Hmm. Income growth rate, 4.3%, and remote workers, 26%.
Okay.
A stress score of 22, which is the lowest. That in comparison to Houston, Texas, with the most at 69.
Wow. Wow.
And I'd like to know a little more details on this one, too. But regardless, longest commutes, it was all New York and California, New Jersey in there. Even Chicago came in at number 9.
Hmm.
Longest work week, Tennessee at 41, then Scottsdale, Peoria, Arizona, Texas, Brownsville, Texas, Fort Lauderdale, Florida, McKinley, Texas, Frisco, Texas, Chandler, Arizona, Dallas, Texas, and Fayetteville, North Carolina. So it sounds like you're working long hours in Texas.
Yeah.
That may have to do a little bit with that, how they ranked there and everything.
Mm-hmm. Well, for sure.
That is interesting, though. It's an interesting one.
And especially when you consider that there is more talk about shortening our work week.
Yeah.
They are finding more and more positives with it. The countries that have taken this on and experimented with it, they're finding positive results.
We've talked about this a number of times, and the last time we talked about it, I think Seth was in with us, and I can't remember what it was, but we went to commercial break, and I was thinking about it, and I realized I don't think I've ever thought we were closer to that actually happening.
Mm-hmm.
The first time we talked about it, and this is going back to one of our earliest conversations, you and I, and you haven't been with us that long.
No, we were in the old building.
Yeah, it couldn't have been more far-fetched to me. It couldn't have been more, oh, that'll never happen. At least in America, I didn't think it ever would. And here we are like a year later, and I couldn't be more on the opposite side of this now, where I just think it's
actually
a matter of time.
Actually wrapping your head around it.
Yeah, I don't know if it'll be in our work careers. I'm not sure, but I do think it is just a matter of time.
I think we'll see it in our work careers in places the United States. I can't guarantee that it'll happen to us, but I think we'll see it in this country in our work lifetime.
We'll see.
I'll make that bet, James.
I like that bet. I hope you're right. I really do. Because I also think that there's a sneaky thing that can happen from this, too, of, well, people that... say you don't have to, if it comes down to that, a 4-hour work week, and people are able to retire sooner.
4-day work week.
4-day work week.
I'll take a 4-hour work week. Heck yeah.
That coffee is really being missed. You may have people being able to retire sooner, which could mean more people into that work field or being able to, move up in that field, get a higher paying job or something like that.
Or more of an opportunity for people to start retiring, like to do a partial retirement where they retire a little, cut down on the number of hours that they work a week and apprentice young people coming in to take over their job.
Say a business, how do we swing this? We don't have enough employees to be open only 4 days a week or something like that or what have you. Maybe they are able to hire more. Or there's a lot of gray area to this that I think is more positive than negative.
Mm-hmm.
And it just does seem like just a matter of time before it does end up happening. And it may be a matter of time before you end up doing this. I don't know. I have not done this one, but I imagine that plenty of people have. Some friendships fade out, but others, they flame. Some friendships fade out. Sometimes they flame out. And in both cases, both sides just kind of get it and move on. But have you ever decided to end an active friendship for some reason? Have you ever canceled a friend? In a series of new polls, 66% of people said that they have and that they did follow through with it.
Wow.
Only 25% said that they haven't. More women than men say that they have canceled a friendship, but it's close. People were also asked if they're aware of anyone deciding to end a friendship with them. 51% said it has happened to them, and 26% said it hasn't. If it needs to happen, 53% of people say it's best to be upfront about it and notify the friend. But 31% think it's better or just to slowly just kind of distance yourself from them. For what it's worth, younger adults are more in favor of transparency.
Yeah, because it's harder to fade away if you've got if you're linked online.
Yeah,
you know, in a lot of ways.
Although I think it's worth mentioning too, though, that we hear more from the younger generations that they have a harder time making in-person conversations or starting a conversation. A lot of the tablet generation kind of dealing with that and figuring that kind of those little, you know, little things we learn, you know, in school or whatever it is, you know, wherever you learn it in life. They didn't ask why the friendships were terminated, so it could be serious, like they'd become negative or toxic, or it could be something silly, like they got way into crypto and they would not stop talking about crypto and, you know, something like that. Yeah, whatever the case might be.
Fine, James, I'll stop talking about crypto. Get it.
Thank you. Thank you for getting the point. That would be hilarious. You're like one of the last people. Like, that would blow me away if you were into crypto. I don't know. I do think that we're getting more comfortable with some of this stuff of being able to talk about these things in society. And that's not a bad thing, I think. But I also think that, you know, friendship's supposed to be positive. It's supposed to be supportive.
And it's supposed to be uplifting.
Yeah. And granted, it doesn't have to be always like that.
Well, but, no, because we're humans.
Yeah. But if any of these things are factor in everything, I don't see the negative. I don't see anything negative necessarily in ending these things. If it's the last, like it's the last, it's got to be the last thing for me. It's the last option. Like it, break glass in, you know, case of emergency kind of thing. And I'll say, and I've been honest about this before, I was never very good at making friends, and I've got a good group of friends and everything, but I'm not inclined to, you know, start making cuts. I'm like, we gotta cut the roster here, guys. I'm sorry. Yeah, I gotta get to
54. One too many.
Yeah, it is. Every football season, you know, you got to cut some players and just got to cut some of you guys. I'm sorry.
Sports analogies again.
But I don't know. There's something about that. I also think a big part of friendship is, too, having each other's back.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not something that is just a saying. Like, you've got to actually back it up.
Yeah.
And until you're actually in the middle of a situation like that, do you really know, hey, are we really friends? Or does this person really have my back? Or, oh, no, they're gone.
And sometimes when you find that out, when you find out they don't have your back, that's the time to say, all right, see ya.
Yeah, and it might be for the best for everybody.
Yep.
We will take a quick commercial break. We'll come back, and we're going to get into some entertainment news. I want to touch on a couple of interesting things going on here. We got some new concerts that are going to be coming out. I mentioned earlier Chris Rock's a special and Mullet Dog. We got to talk about that, too. All of this coming up for you right here on The Morning Show at WFHR.